Remain standing. Take your Bible. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And tonight, we're going to read verses 29 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Tonight's sermon is called The Command We Most Often Break. The Command We Most Often Break. Ephesians 4:29 through 32, let's read this responsively. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I want to help our people. I want to help your people. Lord, I would like to someday, when I take my last breath here or Jesus comes back, to be found faithful and obedient. We're all rebellious. We all fail. But I pray that you'd help us tonight to learn a little bit more about what you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are more than 10 commandments in the Bible. When I say the word command or commandment, most people think of 10 listed in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath. All those 10 commandments, those are about the only 10 commands that most people in the world think are in the Bible. But the Bible is full of God's commands. We live in a world full of corrupt communication. Television, radio, music, social media, entertainment, cell phones, email, texting, you name it, the world is full of corrupt communication. Sadly, even in churches, communication is corrupting itself. We have the wrong Bibles. We have people using whatever Bible they want to use. We have bad doctrine. You have people in churches that'll gossip. You have people that change things in the Bible to mean things that it's not and create whole movements and denominations based on, well, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. No, you don't. God never said that. And what they call tongues isn't tongues. Now, you see, have you ever noticed how rude, mean, grumpy, and just plain ugly society is today? When we think of the commands, though, there are more than just the Ten Commandments listed in Exodus chapter 20. Now, I'm not God. I don't have an official tally. I didn't go through the Bible and find out, oh, well, there's 2,737 commands. I have no idea. But in my 37 years of preaching, my 28 years full-time service, and dealing literally with millions of people, I personally think Ephesians 4:32 is probably the most broken command of God. Look at it with me again. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Probably the most broken command in the Bible is the lack of kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness. Say, well, everybody's a liar. Yeah, everybody's a liar, but you've probably been unkind more than you've lied. Everybody doing all right? Ephesians 4:32 teaches us there is a biblical kindness. There is a biblical tenderheartedness, and there is a biblical forgiveness. Now, I want you to notice something. It says, and be ye. It didn't say, try to. Didn't say, if you all feel like it, do it. It is as much of a command as, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. God didn't ask us to do it. He said to do it. It's a command. Right. Now, listen to me very carefully. The corruptness of communication is worse than ever and more available than ever. That invention right there has destroyed the kindness in America. I have to get up in funerals and say, turn your phones off. I have to get up in church and say, turn your phones off. I have to get up in weddings and say, turn your phones off. You sit in a restaurant, you got people holding conversations on their phone, and they're screaming and hollering, cursing at people on their phone. You can't even go into a public washroom anymore without people on their phones. Now, I don't mean that in a crude way, but people just aren't kind anymore. Corrupt is not a good word. The word corrupt means rotting, stinking, putrefying, defiled. It literally means like a rotting body or a rotting corpse full of defilement. It is corrupting. God tells us to put away these kinds of communications in our lives. Look at verse 31. It describes our country. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If you sit through the news, you'll see every one of those things every news program.
Yes, sir.
You watch the average television show and it's filled full of this. And I'm going to make a statement here. It might not make me popular, but I don't give a flip and never tried to be popular. Hollywood is full of it. The attitude on the streets is that way. And sadly to say, most video games are full of this. May I say something? Most Facebook is filled full of this. Social networking, social media, everybody's got to state their opinion. Can I tell you something? Everybody's got an opinion, just like you got a nose, but it doesn't mean you ought to pick it. Everybody doesn't need to know what you're thinking. Some of the silliest things in the world is you'll get something by email or something, and then it has everybody's public comment on this. Have you ever read any of those things? It only takes you about 10 seconds to realize people really have they have an avenue to vent, but nobody ever really pays attention to it. They sure feel good about they can write what they want to write. Now, all of this negative, mean, ugly communication has led to the lack of kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness in our society today. The more aggravated our communication gets, the less kindness there is in our country. It used to be that people didn't make a phone call after 9 o'clock at night. And there was such a thing as long distance. You young people don't know what a long distance phone call is. You don't even know what it means to use a phone in the house other than your cell phone. When I grew up, there was one phone in the house, and it was on the wall of the kitchen. And you could only go as far as that little curly Q little cord would let you go. We thought we were hot snot when we got a cordless phone that reached all the way to the back room, you know. We thought we were living high on the hog. I mean, you could actually pull the little thing up and hit the button, and you could call, and you weren't attached to a wire. I mean, we thought we were something. Wait a minute. People don't even have common courtesy anymore. Especially the lost world. Christians in churches today have probably broken the command of Ephesians 4:32 more than any other. We gossip. We talk about how much better we are than someone else. We complain about what we don't like. We yak and run our mouth about somebody else because, well, did you know what they did? And we use evil communication. We're lacking kindness in our churches. Tonight, I want to show you these three commands God gave us, and how it deals personally with you. Now, Listen to this very carefully. If you think this is for somebody else, you're guilty already. This is for you. This isn't about your wife or your husband or your kids or your mom or your dad or your grandpa or your grandma or whoever. This isn't about your friend. This is about you. We're not supposed to listen to preaching for somebody else. Right. It's for us. Say, well, preacher, are you talking to me tonight? Yes. I want this to be between you and God, and let the Holy Spirit work on you. By the way, to go home and then say, well, didn't you listen to the preacher? You're supposed to do it. You just lost the whole truth. Yes, yes. Demanding somebody else live by it means you were listening so somebody else would help you, not so that you would be convicted yourself. Right. I want it to change you as it's supposed to change you. Number one, kindness. God says, and be ye kind one to another. I want you to notice something here. It doesn't say just to other Christians. It doesn't say just to the people you know. It says, be ye kind one to another. Yes. I was downstairs the other day, and Mr. Cole was coming in. It was a day there was supposed to be some rain coming, and he's got arthritis really, really, really bad. He doesn't walk well. He was getting out of his vehicle, and I stood at the door, and I talked to him, and I stood there and held the door, and it was going to take him a couple minutes to get there. He said, oh, that's okay. You don't need to hold the door for me. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, why is that? I said, because I respect you. I said, it's the right thing to do. And he just... he shook his head. He said, you are different. He said, they don't make them like you anymore. I said, you haven't met my dad. I said, if I didn't do that, he'd probably whoop me. He kind of chuckled a little bit. And we talked as he got through. He has this little shopping cart that's extra high up at the top of the elevator because he can't bend over for a regular walker because it hurts his back. So he's got that, and it does real well for him. So he got on the elevator, I walked up the steps, I moved that over right in front of the elevator door, and I just kept walking. I was already in the office before the elevator ever got up here. He went down, I could hear it going down the hall. A little bit later, I happened to be out, and he saw me. He said, Pastor? I said, yes, sir. He said, thanks. I said, for what? He said, you moved my cart for me. He said, nobody's ever done that. They just complain about where it's at. I said, I understand what it's for, and I'm glad you got it. Can I tell you something? We're missing common courtesy and kindness in America today. The word kindness means graze, like a cow grazes. It means to gather. It means gracious, benevolent. It means to act, not react, in a good way. You know, too many of us react. We don't act. Let me show you what a reaction is. Okay, that's a reaction. Something's coming at you and you react to it. When somebody says something to you and your initial response is fire back. Yes, sir. That's a reaction. It's kind of what I preached this morning. We're supposed to have the tongue of the learned. We're not supposed to react. We're supposed to choose what our plan of action is and respond according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, not what our flesh says do. Everybody doing okay? That's what kindness is. Kindness is a gathered response that is planned, not a reaction to circumstances. Ladies, okay, he walked through the door with muddy shoes, dropped his clothes all the way, you know, he's got the trail of mud, so to speak. You know it's going to be there to complain about it because he does it every day, hasn't fixed it, might as well just learn to deal with it. Instead of just complaining, after 40 years you haven't changed him, it ain't going to change. The old dog didn't get the trick, amen? Now, wait a minute. I think we ought to be kind and not leave that, fellas. Yes. All right? But God made that thing right at the top of my steps on that ledge there for me to hang my coat on every day when I get home, put my tie on there so my wife can put it away later. I know that's why it's there. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? It may not be perfect in your house. No kidding. There's a sinner that lives there, and it's you. But, you know, our homes are supposed to be places of kindness. Kindness is what you are, not how you are treated. Let me say that again. Kindness is what you are, not how you're treated.
Boy, that's good.
I don't respond kindly to people just because they're kind to me. I do what is kind, whether they're kind back or not. I was at a store recently. I don't even remember where. I held a door for a lady, and she just walked through. I said, "You're welcome." She turned around. I didn't say thank you. I said, "I know, but you're welcome anyway." There was an older lady coming up behind her. She said, "Boy, is she rude." She said, she hadn't been around a gentleman. She said, "Thank you, sir." I said, "You're welcome too." Now, wait a minute. She and I had a real good conversation. The first lady, she just stormed off. Say, "Preacher, did that bother you?" No, I was kind. I didn't need her kind response for me to be kind.
That's right.
Nor was I going to react to her lack of kindness and be as nasty as she was.
Amen.
That's evil communication.
Yes.
That's part of this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking to be put away from you. Kindness is stored up and used when needed. The word kind is the word, it comes from the word kine, like a grazing animal, like a cow. Everybody doing okay? What does a cow do? He gathers, or she gathers, it gathers food, sits down, erps it back up and starts chewing on it, brings it back up when it needs it. We're supposed to have kindness stored up in us so that when it's time to use it, we bring it back up and use it. Whether the person receiving it receives it well isn't the issue. It's what we are, not how it's received. Everybody doing okay? Look at how unkind people are to authority today. Look how unkind children are to parents. My wife and I were at Penny's the other day because they're shutting things down, and we were looking at the sales over there. There was a kid standing there screaming at his dad. I mean, I looked at my wife, I said, "We better go to the other side of the store." I'm about ready to teach that kid something about respect. I mean, I literally had to walk away because I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. And I mean not talking loudly, I mean yelling at his dad. I thought, dude, I could teach you how to fix that problem. He might not sit down for 3 days, but I could teach you how to fix it. I that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to look at the kid and go, "Yeah!" You know, get his attention real good. But, and I think the rest of the store would have gone, "Yeah!" Because everybody's... But it wasn't my place. Now, wait a minute. Look how we treat our parents. Young people, you ought to treat your parents with kindness. Parents, you ought to treat your children with kindness. Now, I realize there's times you got to correct them. I realize there's times that they're being rebellious and you've got to go through the correction process. But remember, they pick out your nursing home. that was too good. I'm sorry. Look how unkind people are to police officers today. I hate to disappoint you, but the police aren't there to hate your guts. And I don't care who you are, I don't care what color you are, whether you're green, purple, white, black, or yellow, it doesn't matter what color you are, you're supposed to treat police officer with respect.
Yes, sir.
He represents the law.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, they're all, no, okay, you've just become as evil as the people protesting all over the country.
Right.
Well, he doesn't have the right. If he pulls you over, he had the right. If he didn't have the right, that's what courts are for. File in court and take care of it there, but don't do it on the side of the road. And don't have a bad attitude about it. Can I tell you something? If an officer pulls me over, he has the right to pull me over. I have no problem with that. He doesn't have the right. Wait a minute. If he asks me questions, you don't understand what those guys go through. Their life is in danger every time they deal with somebody. And if you dealt with the creeps they deal with all the time, you'd understand why they're asking you that question. They don't know you. I just believe in being respectful to them. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun here. And by the way, I hate using the word cops. And it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives before you call him an animal in the barnyard either. They're police officers.
Yes.
Now, I don't think it's necessarily bad to call them cops, but that didn't start as a good word, just so you know. Look how unkind people are to teachers. Good night. The average public school teacher puts up with more trash than a juvenile detention center worker put up with in prisons. Bosses. Look what bosses have to put up with today. Somebody can't show up to work on time on a regular basis, and then when they got to start disciplining somebody, the boss is the bad guy. Well, you're the twerp that didn't get to work on time. I have no problem with that. You're the one that messed up at work.
Yes.
It wasn't the boss's fault.
Amen.
Why is it always the boss's fault? Everybody doing okay? It used to be that we knew who our neighbors were, and people were neighborly. Now they put their dogs out at 3:30 in the morning to bark all night long. Or they're yelling and screaming at each other at 2:30 in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning and drunk and yelling at each other and waking the whole neighborhood up. People used to not do that. If they did it, they shut the doors and windows and hollered at each other. They didn't go out at 2 o'clock in the morning drunk, screaming, and hollering at each other. People don't even know what it means to be neighborly anymore. And I got to hurry here. The entertainment and social media of today is mean, nasty, evil, and unkind. Video games are full of violence, fighting, meanness, rock music, you name it. I'm not saying every video game is that way. But I will tell you this, 90 to 95% of the video games and things on phones and everything else, it's violence.
Right.
I never allowed my children to play games where they were killing people. You talk to the FBI, the CIA, and the military, and the police, they'll tell you the most dangerous person with a weapon in their hand is somebody that's grown up on video games. They are training people to be evil, violent. When you're blowing things up, that's not something that's good communication, good entertainment. My wife and I never listen to the commercials on television when we do have it on. Some of the nasty, filthiest, vile garbage that's out there is on from Hollywood. I don't know how people call that entertainment. We watch movies that are filled full of violence and nasty and evil. Hollywood is filthy. It's unkind. They're protesting what's right. The biggest liberals, sodomites, vile people are the people from Hollywood.
Right.
Whatever happened to all those that said if Trump got in office, they're leaving and going to Canada? None of them left. Canada didn't want them. Yeah. Climb the wall and drop them, amen. The news media. You talk about a bunch of reprobates. And by the way, the news media is controlling our country. Be careful. Listen, by the way, with Roger Ailes dying with Fox News, you're going to watch Fox News go the way of CBS, NBC, and all the other sewer lines. Promise you. Roger Ailes' children are liberals. He's not. You're going to watch Fox News. It's already been in the process of changing. It's going to go that much faster. Be careful. I'm warning you. It's coming. This me first mentality, or it's all about the kids. And we wonder why kids are so selfish and nasty and mean today. You know what I had the right as a child to do? Obey my mom and dad. And if I didn't, we took a little trip somewhere. We had a powwow. They did the powwowing, we did the wowing. We had a Board of Education meeting. It was applied to the seat of learning. Amen? Kindness. our kindness in our country is diminished because of the evil communication we have. Look how husbands and wives talk to each other. Look how parents and children talk to one another. Look how friends and friends talk to one another. I believe we ought to be kind to each other. You can disagree with somebody and still be kind. I don't always agree with my wife. But may I say this, we don't do it in an ugly way. Number two, tenderhearted. That word tenderhearted means well-compassioned, full of pity for another, soft, sympathetic, understanding. Boy, is that missing in our world today. There is absolutely no tenderheartedness unless it's for a critter. You know, we have to save millions of acres of woods for Spotty the owl, but we can abort children. Let me ask you a question. Go into the neonatal or the PICU of any hospital, walk in and suffocate one of those babies that's at 4, 5, 6 months being carried, and you'll be tried for murder. But you can go to Planned Parenthood at the same stage of life and kill that child in the mother's womb, and it's okay. And then they sell the parts for research. And I hate to tell you, ladies, most of you are wearing makeup that has aborted fetal tissue in it. That's what they use it for. You don't even know it. There's a market for it. Now, that's not tenderhearted. Oh, you don't care about the kitty cats and the puppy dogs. How about caring about people?
Amen.
I'm not for being violent to critters either. But may I say this, if I have to be violent to something, I'll be violent to a critter and not a human.
Yeah. Amen.
And hunting is not violence.
That's right.
We have hard, harsh, selfish ways how we want to treat people. Look how we treat each other in our homes. Boy, does that get personal. How tenderhearted are you at home? Bless God, we're going to do this. I'm the man. Oh, that was real tender, wasn't it? Okay, yeah, you have the right to say that, but can I tell you something? God said be tenderhearted. Every once in a while, everybody doesn't have the drive you have. Some people wear out before. My wife cannot put the hours in I put in. God made me a machine, not her. Feed me a bale of hay, I can keep going for a while. Amen? I can go and go and go. My kids call me the Energizer Bunny. I just keep on going, and it's wired in me. It's okay. But may I say this, I don't get upset at my wife because I've put 15, 16, 17 hours in and I'm ready to go do something else and she's about half dead. I'm not going to get all upset because she can't keep going. My wife doesn't go out there and after I've worked all day and she's maybe done working all day at the house or she's got a cleaning job she does every once in a while, and say, okay, let's go cut wood. Let's go stack wood. I'm getting ready to put a new fence in. I had to move what was left of my wood pile. I didn't ask my wife to go out and do it that day. Say, why? That's my job, not hers. Well, it'll get done faster. Okay, you got all the efficiency, but I don't want to kill my wife in the process. I'd rather her stay inside and get the food ready so I can charge back up, amen? Now, we're tender as long as we agree with somebody. But when they don't see it like you see it, are you tender? Tenderheartedness does not mean you'll always agree, but you can disagree softly. Do you know, I'm not always going to see life as Brother June sees it. But if we ever disagree, we can do it kindly. I can understand his point of view. I can at least get his input. And it may turn me to his side of thinking. He doesn't know this, but about 2 weeks ago, he put something, a thought in my head that's created a big decision for me. Just one statement, that's it. I thought, I've been struggling with that for a long time. Not a sin or anything like that, just a decision. I mean, I've struggled years with it. He said one thing, and he made more sense in one statement than I've had made in the last 4 years. Here we go. Say, what was that? He was tender. He was tender-hearted about it. You know, you don't need to yell and scream and storm off every time you disagree with somebody. If your reaction is,
okay, that's not tender-hearted.
Now, I'd rather you storm off than pop off and start screaming, but why don't we become tender-hearted? Everybody doing all, man, it's really quiet in here.
All right, here we go.
You know, can I tell you something? Everybody's got an opinion. Yours doesn't always need expressed. Neither does mine. An opinion is just that, an opinion. And just because you see something your way doesn't mean that's the only way to see it. You're only looking at it from your side. Tender-hearted means you look at the other person and how they're looking at it and how they're going through it and approach it as they need you to approach it. Sometimes my wife needs me to say, it's okay. Let's just stay home. There's other times she needs to get out. No problem. There's times I need to say, we're going to do this. Now, I don't spring it on her and say, okay, you know, you've worked all day, but man, we're going to go out and we're going to spend the next 10 hours doing this. Okay, that's not what they need. I'm not supposed to be a bull in a china shop. I'm supposed to be tender-hearted. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 2 says, surely I am more brutish than any man, but have not the understanding of a man. Brother June, if you can push that too. You know, we're supposed to have an understanding as a man, not just be brutish. That word brutish is the word brute strength, brute force. Yeah, you might be big and tough, but if you can't understand somebody else, what good is that brute strength? Everybody doing okay? Jesus wept for a city full of people who were soon going to kill him. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he was weeping for Jerusalem. Those were the people that were going to kill him. He was tender, knowing what they needed, even though they didn't see what he saw. And he was tender with them. We need a revival of tender-hearted people at home, at church, at work, with brothers, with sisters, with parents, with children, with husbands and wives, and with our friends. We need to learn to be tender-hearted with people. Everybody doing okay? So, first of all, we have kindness. Second of all, tender-heartedness. Number three, forgiving one another. I love the word forgive.
The word forgive means to give before the offense. Forgiveness is a reservoir all stored up waiting to be used. That means if Brother Stoltz does something to offend me, I'm to have forgiveness all stored up, kindness, that grazing, that gathering, and the tender-heartedness to be able to say, it's okay. I forgive you. I forgave you before you ever did it. That's what real biblical forgiveness. Forgive. Give before. Give before the offense.
Everybody doing okay? Forgiveness is for the one hurt, not the one who did the hurting. Everybody doing okay? Forgiveness is not for the person who did the wrong. It's for who was wronged. When I say I forgive you, that doesn't change anything he did, but it cleanses my heart. It allows me to be clean. It allows me to be kind. It allows me to be tenderhearted. And it allows me to be right, whether he is or not. Forgiveness is not for the one who did the wrong. It's for the one who was wronged. God forgave us. When God forgives us, it wasn't for us, it was for him that he forgave. It allowed him to be just. It allowed him to love us, whether we violated him or not. Boy, that's a good statement. We hold on to our hurt when we're offended way too long. When you start bringing up people's past, you start bringing, by the way, there are people in this room, you have never forgiven yourself. You have hurts and pains of the past, and you keep reliving them and keep beating yourself up over it. Can I tell you something? Get rid of it, forgive yourself, and go on.
Amen.
Go on. We need to learn to forgive one another. We need to learn to forgive our spouse. We need to learn to forgive our children. Your children are not perfect. I know that's hard to believe. Brother Ron, your mother's children definitely weren't. Wait a minute. My kids are not perfect. You say, why? Because they have my blood in them. I know how bad they could be. Because I know how bad I was. I know how bad their grandfather was. I mean, now wait a minute. God wants us to forgive before the offense. That means this. We're supposed to forgive one another here at church. Everybody listen to me. When one of our young people messes up and does something wrong, learn to forgive them.
Yes.
And shut your mouth about it afterwards. You're going to thank me one day when it's yours. Well, they just should have. Oh, wait a minute. How many perfect kids did you raise? How perfect are you? Before you start labeling somebody else, why don't you shut your mouth? Learn to forgive them. And by the way, sometimes older children do what they want to do, whether they've been trained right or not. How many times have you done wrong? Let him with no sin cast the first stone. Let's be forgiving of our spouses. Do you know, you're not always going to see life the same way. Why do you keep bringing up where you disagree with all the time? You know, I don't understand something. Why do we enjoy bickering and fighting with one another? Some of you, I think you enjoy fighting because you fight about the same thing over and over and over and over again. If you know you're going to fight about it, why not avoid it? Why not fix it? If it's an area of contention, fix it so you don't have to keep fussing about it. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I think we ought to forgive people who do us wrong in business. I have been cheated. Have you? I've been wronged in business. Have you? That doesn't mean that, I've had doctors that have not made the best of decisions. That doesn't mean every doctor is a creep and doesn't know what they're doing. You have a heart attack, I'll guarantee you're going to be thankful for a doctor who knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Forgiveness doesn't take away justice. It just cleanses the violated. Forgiveness, if your child does something wrong, say, well, I forgive you. It's okay. No, I didn't say it's okay. They're still going to get punished. Forgiveness doesn't take justice away. That's not just. That's not forgiveness. And that's not mercy. Forgiveness says, I forgive you, but you're still going to face this. There are still consequences that go with the disobedience that you did. Glad you got it right. Glad I forgave you. Glad you asked for forgiveness. But you're still going to face your punishment. That's where we get into this. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's okay, but you're still going to get a whooping. You go through an intersection and you run a red light, and you hit somebody and kill somebody's baby in a car, you can sit there and say, I'm sorry, all you want, and it's not going to bring that baby back to life. There will be consequences. You may be truly sorry, but it won't fix anything. Everybody doing okay? That's why this repentant salvation, you got to repent of all your sins. You got to show sorrow for your sins before you can get saved. I don't care how sorry you are about sin, it doesn't save you. Amen. Sorrow over sin is not repentance. Everybody doing okay? God can forgive our sin, but Jesus' righteousness was needed and necessary for our salvation to be complete. God will forgive us our sins, but we also need the righteousness of Christ added to our account to balance the justice. So it's not just the forgiveness of sin, it's the addition of the righteousness necessary for salvation. We need to be ready in advance for people to hurt us so that they can be forgiven. May I say it this way and I'll be done. Why should we be so surprised when sinners sin? Why do we get so upset when sinners sin? Well, they should know better. Okay, your attitude, you should know better, and you shouldn't have an attitude like that. If you're so holy and righteous and high and mighty, how come your attitude stinks so bad right now about it? Well, that sin really bothers me. How many of your sins really bother somebody else and bother God? Folks, we need to work on our forgiveness. We need to work on our tender-heartedness. We need to work on our kindness. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at me and I'm done. Probably the most often violated command of God is lack of kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness. Probably more than lying. You're probably unkind, untender-hearted, and unforgiving far more than you lie. You say, well, not me. You just told another lie. Yeah, you. And me. And me. I work at it. I struggle at it. I deal with difficult people. Do you know difficult people are not easy to be kind to? And every once in a while, I blow it. There are just some people that you just like to reach out and slap. That little kid in the store the other day, I wanted to reach out and touch someone, amen? I really did. I wasn't in the mood to be kind to that kid, nor his parent. But I was kind because I did not react. Now, I had to work on my kindness. It's a good thing my wife was there because she was being more kind than I. Honey, let's go over here. Yeah, that's a good idea. Get me away from this kid. It was really gnawing at me. I deal with mean people. I deal with hurting people. I deal with angry people. They're not always the easiest to be kind to, but I'm supposed to be kind. Sometimes I got to get a little tough just to get their attention, but it's not an act of meanness. Be kind one to another. That's everybody. Saved, lost, somebody you know, somebody. Can I tell you something? The average Christian home is less kind than people really understand. Your home ought to be a place of kindness, tender-heartedness. I'm not saying warm and squishy. I'm not saying you relax the rules, but it should be a place of kindness, sir, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I even say that to my wife and my children still. Say why? Because I believe in kindness, respect, common courtesy. When you pull her chair out, fellas, make sure she sits on it when you pull it out and don't pull it out all the way so she hits the floor. Be kind. Yeah. Because when she gets back up, she's going to take it and beat you over the head with it. Wait a minute. I think we ought to be kind in our homes. Our homes ought not be a shouting match. They ought to be places of kindness and tenderness and forgiveness when people do something stupid.